Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Beach to Green. He's going to hoist one up from 30, and he drills it. A.J. Green with 0.4 seconds left knocks it down from way downtown.
Butts Talk starts now.
Jackson wants number 7. Why not? He has saved his best shooting for this Bucks team through the years. Jaren Jackson Jr. doing it again.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Jaren Jackson Jr. does it again, but this Memphis Grizzlies team just feels right at home in this building. They were the first opponent to win inside of Fiserv Forum, and they are now 5-1 all time in this building. They've won 3 straight games here in Milwaukee, 7 straight overall against the Bucks. Have the Memphis Grizzlies, and it was a game where you never really felt comfortable if you were the Bucks, despite the fact that they carried the lead into the fourth quarter. Memphis coming into this game is 3-12 this season, when trailing after 3 quarters. It wasn't so much a momentum thing. It was a familiar foe for the Bucks here, starting with the road trip, and that was offensive rebounding. So some additional thoughts to get to on that for a second, but Brandon, what was your main takeaway from this?
Yeah, Justin, I'll go with another frustrating loss. I mentioned it. I know on Friday night, which obviously the Bucks yielded 144 points, tonight 132. So most definitely a frustrating loss. Way too many offensive rebounds tonight for the Grizzlies, 22 to be exact. You knew that's a team that likes to get, you know, those second and third chance opportunities, like to outgun other teams and get up and down the court. It's exactly what they did to the Bucks tonight. I, on the flip side, I thought the Bucks, Justin, did a decent job of moving the ball around. They just, again, just gave Memphis way too many chances to get back into the game. The Bucks had a double-digit lead a few different times in this game, so it was frustrating because it felt like it was a game that the Bucks had an opportunity to win. Obviously, no John Morant for Memphis. The Bucks were back home after being kind of out on the road the last week in a funky schedule with being in New Orleans and flying back home to play Miami and then leaving right away and heading on that 4-game West Coast road trip. But definitely a frustrating outcome tonight. And tomorrow, you know, as you mentioned, it only gets more challenging. I didn't give a game ball out on Friday. I'm going to give one out tonight. If I gave one out on Friday, Justin, and I gave one out tonight, it would go to the same person, and that's Chris Middleton. I just thought, again, Friday night he was fantastic. Tonight I thought he was the same. I mean, 20 points, 7 to 10 from the field, including 4 or 5 on three-pointers. The last two games, obviously, like I mentioned, including tonight, has looked kind of like the old Chris, the Chris that we kind of expected coming back off of his double ankle surgery, which you hope is now, you know, that little weird stretch last week where he had 2 really good games and then he didn't score in the other 2. Hopefully, you know, the consistency gets built for, you know, going forward for Chris Middleton. I thought he was fantastic Friday night and tonight. So, you know, if there's one thing we can say, though, confidently, Justin, about this team, they are consistently inconsistent. I'm not writing them off by no means. Again, a frustrating loss, a game that you want to obviously get the win because tomorrow it gets even a little bit tougher. Still a long ways to go on the season. But the last week and a half or so, it's been frustrating, and tonight was kind of the epitome of that. But on the bright side, Chris Middleton looks good.
2 straight good games for Chris Middleton. I would agree with that. But look, it's not as simple as the Bucks didn't have Bobby Portis, and the Bucks have played teams that have been really good offensive rebounding teams. With some of the performances we've seen these last 5 games, there's some things to dig into here, but defensively, the only opponent you've held under 120 points in your last 5 games was the Utah Jazz, and they still got up to 110. But the issue we're seeing here, part of it does tie to the absence of Bobby Portis. So why don't we do this? I do want to dig into that in our next segment here of what we're seeing defensively, how that's kind of married to the rebounding numbers that we're seeing from the Bucks, whether or not this is what the group is. Now, you know, like Doc Rivers talked about, hey, we were really good at defensive rebounds earlier in the season. We got better as the season went on. But that has not been the case here these past couple of games. So I do want to get into that conversation. And, of course, the biggest news that has come this weekend is
a trade deadline
that we wondered how busy it would be, and we get another move today with a name that the Bucks had been linked to. So we'll update the latest on that as well after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Giannis hands to Green. Green squeezes off a three, and he sticks it. Good to see A.J. get one to go. The Bucks have reclaimed the lead, 48-46.
A.J. Green, double digits off the bench. Same for Chris Middleton. But this was Jaren Jackson Jr., his story tonight, 37 points. Shades of that game a week or so before Christmas in 2019. When Jaren Jackson Jr. had a career-best 43 points and hit 9 threes against the Bucks. He has good games against the Bucks. The Memphis Grizzlies, as a team, have good games and a lot of success of late against the Bucks, and that continued tonight in this 132-119 victory for the Grizzlies. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Do want to talk a bit about the rebounding numbers and a couple other areas that we've just seen some disturbing trends for the Bucks for these last two or so weeks. So let's go to the phone lines first, though. Mitch in Milwaukee, you kick things off. Go ahead, Mitch. All right, I take it Mitch is not there. What I was going to get to, Brandon, 22 offensive rebounds tonight, I think, was the number for the Grizzlies. I mean, look, the Bucks, the Bucks essentially even the Grizzlies in your second chance points. 20 for the Bucks, 22 for the Grizzlies. But you're not going to win games where you give up that amount of second chance opportunities. And look, you can look at the rebounding numbers and see 61 for the Grizzlies, 36 for the Bucks. That does tell a part of the story. It's not always as simple as just looking at the raw rebounding numbers. But the work on the offensive glass tells the story. And, I mean, Memphis with that, 107 field goal attempts in this game.
Jeez.
You want to maximize possessions. You want as many bites as the apple, to borrow a phrase everybody loves to hear in this city. You want as many bites at the apple as you can get, because the more chances you get, the more you're going to score. It is not sustainable when the opponent has 16 more field goal attempts in a game than you do. And we had the conversation earlier in the week with offensive rebounds. You know, even if you're limiting second-chance points, which the Bucks largely did in spots on that trip, but they were getting killed on the glass. The Blazers game was close when you compared second-chance points. But the volume of offensive rebounds just means you're putting more and more stress on the defense to say, because of our inability to finish the possession, we got to defend for another 14 seconds. And the more that you do that, opponents are going to score, and more often than not, they're going to score threes, and that's what we started to see as this game went on.
Yeah, it's one of those games too, Justin, where you're watching the game and the offensive rebounds are starting to pile up, and I understand they didn't maximize those as far as the numbers go for the second chance points, but it's a game where you just kind of look back. I know for me personally, I'm watching the game and I'm like, man, this would have been a great game for Bobby Portis. This is a great game. I mean, when you exert Giannis and Brooke, you know, throughout the course of the game, you know, in the spots that, you know, Doc is forced to put them into to play the matchup, and obviously, you know, personnel wise, it takes a lot out of them. You know, so come fourth quarter, I mean, they're exerted so much energy and throughout the course of the game that, again, it was another part of the game where it felt like Justin, I don't know, maybe about 5 minutes of actual gameplay where this game just slipped out of their hands, and it was Desmond Bane getting a rebound on his back, laying on the ground, getting a rebound. I mean, I don't. Maybe it doesn't change anything if Bobby's in there, but I feel like it would. And obviously, you know, we can talk about the ifs and the ands and the buts, but it, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It was a game where the Bucks had an opportunity to win. Again, I mentioned it in my opening remarks. They had two or three double-digit leads throughout the course of this game at one point.
Yeah, but
if you allow it to, well, it was in the third quarter too, I believe. Still, whenever it was, I don't know if that necessarily matters, but it was a double-digit lead at home when Memphis doesn't add 100% of their. Of their guys. I mean, you had no Ja Morant in this game, you know? And you allowed 107.
Basically Ja Morant. They've played 27 games without Ja Morant this season, though.
But, But still, I mean, we've played games without our, you know, multiple guys, not, you know, Chris Middleton and Giannis and Dame. But I don't know. I just, it was a, it was frustrating because it was like a game where I felt like just a few minutes in that fourth quarter, again, outscored 19 points in that fourth quarter. Again, it's not all for second chance and third chance opportunities, but it looked like the Bucks were wore down late in that game. And I think, you know, not having Bobby Portis was a huge factor for this Bucks team tonight.
I don't really think this was the final 5 minutes or so that did them in. The Bucks, the way this game went, the Bucks are fortunate to be in front at halftime. They were fortunate to be up by double digits. It felt like they were hanging on for their lives even when they were up because of the way the Memphis Grizzlies were playing this game. They were getting easier shots, and you know, Bucks still hit 23s in this game and lost convincingly because of the offense that the Grizzlies were getting here, and that's been the biggest problem on this road trip. You haven't really seen it, or not starting with the road trip and carrying over into tonight. You haven't really seen it for large parts of the season, save for those first 10 games of the season. But what the Memphis Grizzlies did tonight, like, look, I get your point. We talked about it, too, on the game broadcast about the absence of Bobby Portis and the boost that may have given you on the defensive glass. It's not changing everything else that we saw tonight. And
no, it's
look,
not. Yeah, I agree
it might
there.
Not even matter overall. Memphis is really good at crashing mm-hmm. the offensive glass. They are second best in the league. The Blazers that you just faced were fifth best a couple of days ago. Utah, granted, they didn't have their best offensive rebounder in Walker Kessler, but Utah is really good at getting second chance opportunities and offensive rebounding. I think they're eighth or ninth in the league. So it's unfortunate for the Bucks that they have this stretch of games against some of the best teams in the league at doing so while they're without one of their big pieces. But it wasn't just the rebounding numbers. It was the offensive looks that the Memphis Grizzlies were largely getting every single trip down the floor. And it really boils down to one thing that has to change, or I don't know what the ceiling for this Bucks team is. We'll dig into that conversation coming up after this.
Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Jackson backing his way in on Giannis. He is just feeling it. Had the ball knocked away from behind. He thought he got fouled. Pass goes ahead of the pack. Now to Lillard. Lillard dribbles it off his foot for a moment. Now off to Prince. Prince bounce pass inside. Giannis stuffs it down. Good ball movement there.
132-119 final. Bucks dropped their third straight game, losing to the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Behind a big game from Jaren Jackson Jr. And now 26-21 on the season are the Bucks, a full game back of the Indiana Pacers for fourth in the Eastern Conference. So we mentioned the rebounding numbers. Doc Rivers talked about that a little bit after the game as well and said, look, I thought Brooke was largely doing his job tonight, that you looked at it and Memphis was going and getting rebounds, but the ball was bouncing on the floor, which means Brooke was doing his job. Somebody else has to go get the ball. He's boxing guys out, so your bigs aren't necessarily getting the ball there, and we just didn't do it. And that's a big part of playing through the possession, securing the ball, closing out the possession. We didn't see it tonight. We didn't see it against Portland. We didn't see it against the Los Angeles Clippers. We didn't really see it against the San Antonio Spurs either. It's just started to become an issue for this Bucks team. But a couple of things that I keep going back to in this game where you look further and further into the numbers, and it just never really felt like the Bucks were going to win this game with the way that things were starting to unfold more and more. At the half, the Bucks held the Grizzlies to an 87 offensive rating in the half court. That would have been the best number in the league. It slowly rose up to 100, which still pretty good job in defense by the Bucks in the half court. But the big difference was the Bucks are above a 140 rating in the half court in the first half. They finished at 105, so they stopped making some of those shots and getting quite as clean looks there. Transition became a huge issue. The Bucks did a very good job defending that first quarter and a half of this game. Memphis was still getting a high volume of attempts in transition, but the Bucks were doing some things. We saw on Giannis's free throws, 0 for 6 tonight, by the way. But we saw on one set of free throws, on the second free throw, Chris Middleton is down there to rebound. As soon as Giannis releases the ball, he gets back on defense. And, I mean, it's not Damian Lillard shooting where you're saying, hey, he's going to make this. It's a given. You know there's a 50% chance you're going to have an opportunity to get a second chance and get the offensive rebound here. But the Bucks were doing some things like that to say, we got to get guys back. We got to get back there as much as we can, even if it means sacrificing our offense. And that started to pile up as the game went on, where your looks weren't quite as good. You were kind of playing 4-on-5 at times because of things like that. Memphis is good enough defensively as it is. They don't need you to give them any help. But on the Bucks' defensive side, we've seen them playing in less than ideal spots with just two bigs on this roster right now. Bobby Portis probably helps you on the glass. I'm not sure how much it solves against a team that rebounds the way that the Memphis Grizzlies do. He gives you another big as well. I think that would have helped you and enabled you to play a little bit of zone in this game against Memphis. I'm not sure what else it would have done in this matchup, in the matchup against the Spurs, in the matchup against the Clippers either. These types of teams that run offense, the way these teams play. Because all you got to do when you got two bigs on the floor, or two bigs period, and only one is on the floor, find a way to run motion. Whoever Giannis is guarding, put him on the perimeter. So that way, if we win our matchups on the perimeter, we're getting into the paint and there is no rim protection. And you saw that time and again tonight. It's not just weak links that you would look at in the past and say, well, this guy really struggles out there. It was just about every single guy on the roster tonight was getting beat by their man. And when you're playing shorthanded and you don't have Giannis and Brooke Lopez protecting the rim, it's a layup line. And that's, again, 66 points in the paint tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies. They were outshot from three by the Bucks, outscored by 21 points. And they still handedly won this game because of that.
Yeah, and I don't know where you go from here with that, Justin, because that's obviously a way that teams are going to attack this Bucks team going forward. I mean, do you start looking at guys like Tyler Smith? I mean, you're going to have to give Brooke and Giannis somebody else, you know, if you're not going to have Bobby Portis going forward. So I mean, I don't know if that's something in the, you know, obviously in a trade market. Trade deadline is on Thursday, but I don't know. They need another big, though. Doc Rivers talked about that before the game, you know, mentioning that hopefully the trade deadline is something that they can get some, you know, reinforcements on that side, of the lineup.
Look, you can't go through the rest of the season with just two bigs.
Right.
We don't know when Bobby's going to be able to rejoin the team. Doc was asked before the game tonight, too. Do you know, is he going to join you on the trip to Oklahoma City tonight, or is it a thing where maybe he could join the team tomorrow? And Doc said, I don't know. So I guess we'll wait until tomorrow morning when the Bucks update their injury report to see if Bobby Portis is going to be available. But, you know, the larger part, and I'm not convinced that, look, this is just who the Bucks are, because we have a large enough sample size that suggests the opposite. But the larger point is, look, it doesn't matter how many bigs you have. If you're losing your battles on the perimeter, it doesn't matter who's back there. Teams are going to, if not score in the paint, they're going to generate good looks against you. It's everything the Bucks experienced last year. When you think back to Brook Lopez constantly being under attack, you had Brook Lopez and Giannis last year, but losing on the perimeter and getting guys uncontested looks or getting into the paint and forcing you to react. And I think tonight we saw a lot of overhelping, too, where guys were winning, getting into the paint, rotating over. One of the other things that has really stood out in these last five or so games, Brook Lopez contesting corner threes out of necessity. And that's one thing that Doc Rivers said. When we rebuilt this defense and we completely changed everything, we talked about Greg Buckner and really trying to match that model that the Cavaliers did under Buck with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. If we got two guys around the rim. Evan Mobley can be a rim protector. He can play on the perimeter as well. He can be the ultimate help man. We're taking away those shots. And we think we have assignment sure guys on the perimeter that will at least hold up. Well, why can't the Bucks do that? And they did for most of the first part of the season. Doc said tonight before the game, the other thing I think we should point out, look, if you guys have known me long enough, and it's been a year now with Doc Rivers in seat here, I don't make too much. I don't overreact over three or four games in the regular season. I'm with him on that, but you got to see it come to an end soon. And when you look at the schedule in front of you, that's where the challenges start to pile up, because now you're in OKC tomorrow. The other thing to keep an eye on, not just Bobby Portis, but all the guys the Bucks had on the injury report tonight is questionable, and we heard from Doc before the game, yeah, I think they're all good to go except for Bobby. You know, I know the All-Star break is on the horizon, but it's 6 games in 9 days, I think they have to go into the break, that you'd also like to get a day for some of those guys, especially your veteran players. Maybe it's tomorrow, because you have tomorrow and then one more back-to-back this first half schedule here before you go into the All-Star break. But, I mean, you're starting to get to the point now when we mentioned the standings of you're going to have to steal not just one, you're going to have to steal multiple games against teams like the Grizzlies, like the Thunder, like the Lakers with the move that they just made. Those types of teams where maybe you thought, yeah, it's either a schedule loss or, hey, it's going to be tough as is against a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Cavs in that game you have left with them. You're going to have to steal more of those games. And the two games in the middle there, Wednesday night against the Hornets, Friday night against the Hawks, those are the games like you have no margin for error. Yeah, you got to win every single one of those types of games from here on out.
Yeah, those I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, Sunday against Philadelphia too, Justin, that same week I would even kind of pencil in, you know, as well, because, you know, the injuries that they're dealing with as well. And that's going to be, you know, unfortunately, I mentioned it before. This is kind of this, but that's why it's really hard for me. And I know sometimes maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm naive that I'm just not giving up on this team and the aspirations that I have for them. And it's the peaks and the valleys of this year. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they go in and win tomorrow night, you know, and then lose to Charlotte, because that's kind of how they've been throughout this season. Now, I agree with you. We'll see what that lineup looks tomorrow, especially we'll see if Chris Middleton plays on a second leg of a back-to-back. I know he has a few times this year, but that's the frustrating part, I think, for all Bucks fans out there, is just I don't know what team we're getting night in and night out. And that's the frustrating part about all of this. They're just consistently inconsistent. And those games that you mentioned, and I wholeheartedly agree with, those got to be games that you got to win, especially going into the All-Star break. I mean, really outside of, I guess, tomorrow night and right before where you play L.A., that's coming in out of the All-Star break, Minnesota. I think every other game in that leading up to the All-Star break needs to be a win going into that little bit of a break for this team to kind of get going, because as you and I have talked about, after the All-Star break, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And you know, now you're trailing Indiana, and you work so hard. This team has worked so hard to get out of the hole that they dug themselves into. The last thing I want to see happen is them put themselves right back into that hole.
Yeah, I mean, we could do all the coulda, woulda, shouldas. Hey, if you go 5-5 instead of 2-8 in that first stretch of the schedule.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's how different are things? Well, you're closer to the Knicks. Yeah. But the other thing to keep in mind, is when you look at the standings, the Indiana Pacers, you do, as of this moment, have the tiebreaker against. Pacers are a game in front of you. The Pacers have the sixth easiest remaining schedule in the league. The Magic, fourth easiest schedule left. The Atlanta Hawks, if you think there's a chance for them to jump up into the top six. I know they just were given a big blow with Jalen Johnson out for the season. They have the fifth easiest remaining schedule. Even the Pistons are in the bottom 10. The Heat are number 21 in terms of difficulty there. The Bucks have the seventh most difficult remaining schedule. So the Bucks and the Knicks are the two teams up there in the standings in the East that have difficult schedules from here on out. The other teams in the Eastern Conference, significantly easier. So when you look at the standings and you see, again, the Detroit Pistons are not going away at a game above 500, and you start to see these teams getting closer and closer to the Bucks. The Heat are two games back in the loss column. Pacers are a game in front of them, as we mentioned. The Pistons are three games back in the loss column. So you're starting to see more and more of that, of teams, just as we were having the conversation, what, 10 days, 2 weeks ago. You know, you're not that far back of the Celtics and Knicks. Well, it's the same thing. The Magic, the Pistons, the Heat, it's the same thing they're all saying about the Bucks now. And that Bucks schedule is significantly more difficult than the schedules that those teams have from here on out. So it's why we say, you know, we're in February, the first week of February. I don't want to use the must-win game, but you have very little margin for error with the schedule that you have left and the difficulty that lays on that schedule, the very few games against teams that are in the bottom five in each of their conferences in the standings. So all of those games, the very few ones, I think there's four that the Bucks have, it feels like those are the games you got to win, and then you got to start to steal games against teams like tomorrow night. Like, those are the games you got to say, we got to get at least three or four of those that we have left on the schedule the rest of the way here because of how challenging it is from here on out. I mentioned what a weekend it has been off the court with some big trades going down. What does that mean for Thursday when the trade deadline comes here, and revisit a bit of the conversation we had Friday night about some of the Bucks assets? We'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Scottie Pippen trailed by Connaughton. Passes out. Jackson wants number 7. Why not? He has saved his best shooting for this Bucks team through the years. Jaren Jackson Jr. doing it again.
7 threes tonight for Jaren Jackson Jr. and 37 points as the Grizzlies take down the Bucks 132-119. I do want to pivot a bit to the event that is coming our way on Thursday afternoon. The NBA trade deadline comes at 2 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. And there was a lot of talk coming into this season, but especially trade deadline season, questioning, look, is this going to be a busy deadline or not? Last year, I think a lot of people forget, last year was not. You know, like OG Anunoby was traded, I believe, in late December. Pascal Siakam was traded in January. Those are your two big names. The deadline itself was kind of a dud. And with things like the second apron talk and all the CBA mentions and, well, this team's a second apron team, this team's a first apron team, it's very complicated to sort through what all of that means. It just means it's not quite as easy to approach any team and say, hey, would you like this player for this player? Yeah, well, we can't take back a dollar more than we're sending out, or we're hard-capped at this level. Like, that's what two-thirds of the league is in right now. So I know a lot of people assume, well, there's just not going to be a lot of trades. A few GMs around the league, a few league insiders that I had talked to as well, had kind of said, no, I think there's going to be trades. I think there's going to be a decent amount for the reason that we talked about Friday. You look at teams like the Bucks that are this close and can see, look, there's a path out of the second apron for us, that have the urge now to do that. The draft next year as well, a much better draft than what we had this past season. You have teams that are incentivized to say, I would like more assets. I would like more bites at the apple and more draft picks. Sure, we'll take some of that. 2026, that offseason, is what teams are loading up for, to say this is when guys have player options or are going to hit the market. We want money for them. So you have more and more teams saying, we're willing to take some of these things on for a year. Give us an asset. As long as we're not taking money past 2026, we'll do it. And in the last 48 hours, we've seen things explode where we entered this week thinking, well, it's Jimmy Butler. What's going to happen with Jimmy Butler? And now that's not even a story at all. We see the trade from last night. I want to get to that in a second. But as this game is going on, just as we're about to tip off, we receive the news that a name that I don't know how much validity there was to it. Everybody that I had checked with said not much. But we had seen Zach LaVine linked to the Bucks, and just as this game is tipping off, we learn De'Aaron Fox traded from the Sacramento Kings to the San Antonio Spurs, and part of that deal sends Zach LaVine back to Sacramento. So you got that move coming less than 24 hours after the most shocking trade I ever remember seeing in this league.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Where does it rank? And you just answered it there.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know what the comp is to it because...
I don't either.
I'm not going to try to give the comp for a different sport like Adam Schefter tried and failed miserably.
Failed, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look, the questions that everybody kicks around, that's all you could get for Luka Doncic? Why wouldn't you just shop him if that's what it was moving to? I mean... Yeah, I kind of lean towards that, but also the reason why you wouldn't shop him is the same reason the Bucks didn't do any of this shopping last year when they acquired Damian Lillard. Like, hey, we're not telling you the name of the player that's going to be involved that we're sending to Phoenix, because then things are going to start to trickle out. People are going to hear we're going after Damian Lillard. If this falls apart, how do we have that conversation with Jrue Holiday? Same for the Mavs. Right, if you start to shop this and Luka Doncic hears, well, wait a minute, I was willing to sign the Supermax in the offseason and now you're trying to shop me? Fine, I guess I'm going to leave. But I think the way to view this, or one of the things to keep in mind as we view this with a Bucks lens, is one of the things we talked about on Friday on the postgame show was, you know, saying, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm the person that's, look, if you're going to complain about something, offer up a suggestion. Don't just say, well, don't do this. Like, what would you do differently? So when we talk about, would you trade the 2031 first-round pick? I mean, I'm going to break my own rule here because my answer would always be yes. I don't know who the player is because I don't know who's available. I don't know what calls John Horst is making and what teams are pitching to the Bucks as well. I would not be married to it. Because of, you know, something that Dallas Mavericks fans are feeling right now. As long as you have Giannis here, nothing is off the table for me. Anything that you have that can make this team better and keep you at a level where Giannis is that guy, nothing is off the table there. So I'm not willing to look at anything and say, well, we can't trade 2031 because it's too far down the road. If it makes you better tomorrow, I think you have to do it. Look at what Mavs fans are feeling right now when you say we don't have Luka Doncic anymore, which is still just so absurd to even try to fathom that the Mavs, less than a year removed from reaching the NBA Finals, from dealing with injuries this season, still a pretty good team, from going, I don't know if you would say all in, but going into the levels of bringing on Klay Thompson to fill the role that they did, that the Dallas Mavericks would pull the plug themselves, that as of this moment, the reporting is not Luka Doncic said, I'm not going to sign the extension or request a trade. This was their decision. It just makes you even more grateful for the games that you have Giannis here. And to me, it increases the urgency to say, look, anything we have outside of this, this, and this, it's not tied down. Let's use it to get guys for Giannis and make this team better.
I think this is a good opportunity, Justin, if you don't mind me doing this, and I don't think you will, to appreciate the job John Horst has done in Milwaukee. And also, on the flip side, not saying anything negatively about Luka Doncic at all, but on the flip side, to understand that the loyalty that Giannis has shown the city of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Bucks organization, both sides have done a fantastic job. Is there work that could be done that needs to be maybe better at times? Sure. I think any GM would tell you that you know, they wish they could do this or that, and sometimes it's out of their control. It takes two to tango. Sometimes it takes three or four, but they have both on both sides. Giannis and Bucks ownership and front office has done a fantastic job on signing the NBA's best player to multiple contract extensions, and going out and getting guys like Jrue Holiday, going out and winning an NBA championship, extending guys like Chris Middleton, and being able to bring in Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez, and then obviously go out and get Damian Lillard. So I think I say it all the time, you know, to Bucks fans, I say it to myself, to not take these moments for granted. Is it frustrating when you lose 132 to 119 or 144 to 119, whatever it was on Friday night? Absolutely. It absolutely is. But again, we're in the golden age of Milwaukee Bucks basketball. It may not ever get better than the opportunity that presents itself in these moments with Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. Nothing's off the table. You're absolutely right. I had to look at like 30 minutes straight on my phone last night, Justin, because I could not believe that trade was actually real. I thought Shams was hacked. I didn't think it was real. I saw, you know, then Chris Haynes jumped on it and some other guys, and then you were like, okay, this is actually happening. So it's crazy. You know, that Mavs team was in the finals last year. You know, it may not have been, you know, close to winning a championship, but they got into the NBA finals against a very good Boston Celtics team. They were right there, and then they made a big move with Klay Thompson, as you mentioned, in the offseason. I don't know what to expect anymore, to be quite honest with you. I have no idea what to expect come Thursday. I mean, I really don't. I said it on Friday. I don't expect the Bucks to do much. If anything, get under the second apron, and that would be about it. I don't know. Maybe not, because I think that move right there kind of – it's one of those things, Justin. You mentioned it going into the broadcast today with De'Aaron Fox. That trade with Luka and AD might open the floodgates for who knows what, and that could be something in Milwaukee. I have no idea anymore.
It's going to be interesting to monitor these next, 4 days here as we lead into the trade deadline. There was another trade made yesterday, and that is one that could potentially be more interesting for the Bucks, depending on what they do between now and Thursday. I'll explain what I mean after that, and we'll start to wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so the Bucks look to get back in the win column tomorrow, and it doesn't get any easier in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. Giannis talked a little bit about the Luka trade in postgame tonight, and the main theme was, you know, look, we can't have double standards. Teams do everything they can to make their teams better. When players do the same, you can't hold that against the player. You can't say if they believe they want to leave and go to a different team and he believes he has a chance to win a championship, we cannot crucify the person and say that he's not loyal, he didn't do the right thing, he let everybody down, because history has shown you have to do what is best for you and your family. You have to do what's best and most important to win. So some very interesting comments from Giannis coming out of a 3-game losing streak here for the Bucks. But that move that I mentioned yesterday that also happened, lost in the shuffle of things, was the Utah Jazz and Los Angeles Clippers completing a trade that sent Mo Bamba and P.J. Tucker to the Jazz. Drew Eubanks and Patty Mills go to the Clippers. Mo Bamba has already been waived. I would imagine P.J. Tucker is going to be waived and bought out as well. Now, so long as they are over the second apron, the Bucks cannot sign anybody that was making above the mid-level on a buyout. P.J. Tucker is at that level. I don't think Mo Bamba is. And look, P.J. Tucker at this point is getting close to 40, but I understand the infatuation with him. But all these moves that you've seen, people report, Doc Rivers himself said, you know how many trades I've seen? I don't know how many of them are actually legit. But everything you see involves multiple players for the Bucks. For one coming back, it gets you under the second apron. Maybe it makes you better, but it leaves you thin in the front court. If you can get under that second apron, you do have options on the buyout market. Now, we just saw, I think, two names. We know one for sure in Mo Bamba, probably P.J. Tucker as well. What I would caution with is, as we start to wrap here, I think oftentimes we romanticize the buyout market way too much because traditionally they do not make an impact more often than not. Like Marvin Williams had a great impact for the Bucks. That's pretty close to it. Guys are getting bought out for a reason, so that's really not the solve that you're looking for.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what I was alluding to before, Justin. I said on Friday, you know, you mentioned the proposition with that 2031 first round pick and what I, you know, what I would do with it. For me, it's just get under that second apron, give yourself a little bit more flexibility. I don't know how you do that or go about that, you know, but I think that's probably where they're going to go. Saturday night kind of changed everything, and maybe it will change something for this Bucks team. I still don't see it. I'm not giving up on this team either. I think this team has the opportunity and the talent to get to that, you know, where they want to go. We just got to start seeing some more consistent play from this team going forward.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip in Oklahoma City, the Bucks and the Thunder. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.